try that again. Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship this morning as we come into the presence of our Lord to offer praise and thanksgiving for God's great gift to us in sending his Son to live with us and to take upon himself the sins of the world. The service today will proceed as it is printed, and we ask you to just kind of make note of how things go. It's a little bit looser than normal as far as direction, but everything should be clear. At the end of the Good Friday service, we leave the sanctuary in silence. The reason for that tradition is the fact that the benediction often is the end of worship, but on Good Friday, worship is not yet ended. We do not end until a later date. So that is why we leave this morning in silence. But as we come, we light the Christ candle, mindful that Christ is the light of the world, and that in him is our light. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord and say the call to worship. This morning, the call to worship is divided between left side and right side of the sanctuary. We're going to use your left and your right. So this is the left side and this is the right side. Let us worship God. Here is the man.
Jesus, accused of being a criminal.
Jesus, who threatens the religious establishment.
Here is your king.
The ruler of a kingdom that is not from this world.
The ruler who threatens the power of empire.
Here is the man.
Who witnesses to the truth?
Who gives no answer?
Here is your king.
Jesus, Son of Mary.
Jesus, Son of God.
Jesus, the one we have gathered to worship. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we come today to hear of your abandonment and suffering. Silence fills the air that once rang with the greeting, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Silence fills the air that soon will echo the shouts of the mob, Crucify him, crucify him. We come today to gaze upon the cross of suffering on which Jesus died. We come today to gaze upon the cross where our salvation was born. Walk with us in this hour and reveal to us why all these things had to happen. Walk with us in every hour and assure us that through your suffering we shall never be alone. Amen. Please be seated.
Mark 14:26-42. This is the story of Jesus' passion, recorded for us in Mark's gospel. May we come to know the depths of God's great love and the cost of our salvation. When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, You will all become deserters, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said to him, Even though all become deserters, I will not. Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said vehemently, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all of them said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with them Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, for all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough! The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Immediately while he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." So when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me? As though I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." All of them deserted him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked.
The hymn is number 230, "Go to Dark Gethsemane."
Your glory.
They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many gave false testimony against him, and their testimony did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimony against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands.'" But even on this point, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But he was silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "Why do we still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" All of them condemned him as deserving death. Some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, and to strike him, saying to him, "Prophesy." The guards also took him over and beat him.
While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said, "You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I do not know or understand what you were talking about." And he went out into the forecourt. Then the cock crowed, and the servant girl, on seeing him, began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again he denied it. Then after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know this man you were talking about." At that moment, the cock crowed for the second time. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And he broke down and wept.
Our hymn is number 234. Ah, Holy Jesu, how hast thou offended? 234.
Jesus, how hast thou offended?
As it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels, who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again, "Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." Pilate asked them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified.
Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed him in a purple cloak. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. And they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews." They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Ha, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also taunted him.
Were you there when they crucified?
When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3:00, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion, who stood facing him, saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was God's son." There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the Younger and of Joses, and Salome. These used to follow him and provided for him when he was in Galilee. And there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem.
When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph bought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the body was laid.
Our hymn is number 231, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Number 231.
Oh,
Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To be called upon to preach on Good Friday is to come to the realization that words are not enough, or perhaps too much. How do we explain the inexplicable, the contending of hate against the power of love, authority through submission, the gift of life through death? In the face of the failure of words to make sense of the story, which seems to completely reject the faith that we claim, the church throughout the centuries has turned to traditions and symbols, vigils and walks and stations of the cross, services of light and darkness, those things that can only be expressed by art or music, what words cannot say. In our preparations for Holy Week this week, I was asked one such question about the traditions of Good Friday. Why is it the tradition to have the Good Friday service at 3:00 in the afternoon? For me, I was immediately transported back to my first ever memory of Good Friday, sitting as a child in the annex of Burnside Presbyterian Church on Good Friday in the afternoon. Mark in his gospel provides us with the reason for this traditional time of the service. Mark writes on the crucifixion that when it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3:00 p.m. And at 3:00, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It is the traditional time of the Good Friday service because it was at 3:00 that tradition holds Jesus died. But Mark also makes reference to two other events that occur beyond the immediate. The first is Jesus hung upon the cross. Is that darkness covered the face of the earth. It sneaks past us in this story of betrayal and brutality and grief. Fixated on the cross, like those who followed Jesus out from the city on that day, we almost forget what is happening all around. Darkness falls. This gathering darkness is a sign of an apocalyptic reality that seizes our attention. As Jesus dies upon the cross, the world that we know has come to an end. Rather than the carnage and destruction of modern-day movies, the portrayal of the end of human history, the apocalypse, which portrays the end of human history, the apocalypse, with asteroids falling from the sky and chaos and destruction and fires upon the earth. In Mark's gospel, it is presented quite differently. The present age ends in the darkness of Good Friday, with a sinless man dying for the sins of many upon the cross, with a God who weeps in heaven at the loss of his son, and with the anguished cry, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Surely, it is in this instant that our world has ended. An instant in which the creation that God formed and breathed life into is abandoned by its God. And we witness God's grief and God's pain. Mark goes on to tell us that in that moment in which Jesus cried out and breathed his last, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Like Job or David or many other characters from the Old Testament, God has rent his garments in an overwhelming grief and pain of this moment, but also something else happens in this moment. In the moment that the temple curtain is torn in two from top to bottom, God is set free. Throughout the history of the children of God, God always needed to be set apart from the people. Their sinfulness had made them unworthy and unable to stand in the presence of their God. Our sinfulness has made us impure. And as a result, God is constantly being curtained off, hidden behind the cloud on the mountaintop in the story of Exodus, confined within the Holy of Holies in the tent of meeting and in the temple in Jerusalem. There was always a barrier between God and us. But in this moment, the moment of Jesus' final cry, our sins are put to death upon the cross, and the curtain in the temple, the curtain that separates God from humanity, is no longer necessary. In that moment, we are redeemed and God is set free to truly dwell among us. And as always, the story of Good Friday stands unfinished. Each year, Good Friday's story is unresolved. Like the penultimate chord of a piece of music, Good Friday hangs open, yearning for the final transition. The body of Jesus, Mark tells us, is wrapped and placed within a stone tomb, and the stone is rolled firmly, immovably, into place. And we walk away from the garden with those words. Now Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the body was laid. But we do not understand what those words mean. For that is the story for another day. But for today, rest assured, there is life beyond the veil. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to join me in the solemn reproaches of the cross. This is our closing prayer of the day, and there is a response when you hear the words, "But you have prepared a cross for your Savior." Your response is, "Lord, have mercy." Let us come before God. O my people, O my church, what have I done to you? Or in what have I offended you? Answer me. For I led you forth from the land of Egypt and delivered you by the waters of baptism. But you have prepared a cross for your Savior. Lord, have mercy. I led you through the desert 40 years and fed you with manna. I brought you through tribulation and penitence and gave to your body the bread of heaven. But you prepared a cross for your Savior. Lord, have mercy. What more could I have done for you that I have not done? I planted you, my chosen and fairest vineyard. I made you the branches of my vine. But when I was thirsty, you gave me vinegar to drink and pierced with a spear the side of your Savior. And you have prepared a cross for your Savior. Lord, have mercy. I went before you in a pillar of cloud, and you have led me to the judgment hall of Pilate. I scourged your enemies and brought you to a land of freedom, but you have scourged, mocked, and beaten me. I gave you the water of salvation from the rock, but you have given me gall and left me to thirst, and you have prepared a cross for your Savior.
Lord, have mercy.
I gave you a royal scepter and bestowed the keys to the kingdom, but you have given me a crown of thorns. I raised you on high with great power, but you have prepared a cross for your Savior.
Lord, have mercy.
My peace I gave, which the world cannot give, and washed your feet as a sign of my love. But you draw the sword to strike in my name and seek high places in my kingdom. I offered my body in blood, but you scattered and denied and abandoned me, and you have prepared a cross for your Savior.
Lord, have mercy.
I sent the Spirit of truth to guide you, and you closed your hearts to the Counselor. I pray that all may be one in the Father and me, but you continue to quarrel and divide. I call you to go and bring forth fruit, but you cast lots for my clothing, and you have prepared a cross for your Savior.
Lord, have mercy.
I grafted you into the tree of my chosen Israel, and you turned on them with persecution and mass murder. I made you joint heirs with them of my covenants, but you made them scapegoats for your own guilt, and you have prepared a cross for your Savior.
Lord, have mercy.
I came to you as the least of your brothers and sisters. I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And you have prepared a cross for your Savior.
Lord, have mercy.
Amen. Our closing hymn is 239. O Sacred Head, Sore Wounded, 239.
Oh,
these 3 days, let us wait and watch and pray. Our salvation is at hand.